of this world. It doesn't make sense to anyone who knows the truth, and yet in spite of that, this is the prevailing assumption throughout the clerical world. And it is these incredible superstitions that have hardened into what is known today as religious doctrine, imprisoning men in minds and hearts and bodies not created by God, living in an atmosphere of fear and hate and ignorance, with real truth hidden under a cloak of piety, and at the same time completely losing sight of God's many statements that His creation is always perfect, that His creation is perfect forever. Now that's where we begin in mysticism. That perfect creation is yours. That perfect creation is your sinless, painless, deathless, mystical body. And it doesn't have to be improved at all. It has never sinned. It has never lied. It has never cheated. It has never committed adultery. It does not have to be corrected or improved. It simply has to be lived in. It was that mystical body of Moses that delivered hidden manna to the Israelites in the wilderness. And it was the mystical body of Enoch that enabled him to walk right off the earth and to leave no physical body behind him. It was a breathtaking glimpse of the mystical body of mankind that gave Abraham the courage and the confidence to bind his dear son Isaac, to place him on a pile of wood, and to be ready to offer him as a burnt offering to God. As we take this from a material viewpoint, we lose it. But if we see it for what it was intended to say, as a dramatic symbol, as secret spirit's way of teaching us that Abraham had reached the realization that God life is never in a mortal body. That's all it was saying. Spirit was demonstrating that in order to find your mystical body, you must be willing to cast your material concept of body into the flame of spirit. Again, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a fiery furnace, the prophet Daniel was revealing the mystical body of man, which can never be destroyed. And so a mysterious fourth man appeared in the fire, and the king said, "Who is this mysterious man? Why are these men still alive, and who is that fourth man?" And all the princes of the realm were assembled to see this great thing. Why did the fire have no power over the bodies of these men? Everybody was astonished. The hair on their heads was not even singed. Their coats were untouched. And there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. Very few, now or then, discovered the identity of that mysterious fourth man. And that is because the language of spirit was not understood. We were looking through material eyes. We were not listening within. Spirit was teaching that the fourth man is the one invisible body in which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were living. the same mystical body that is destined to save all of us, all mankind, and to lead us safely through anything this world can offer, including nuclear radiation and including death itself. As we find that one mystical body, we walk the fiery furnace, we find the hidden manna, we find that we are not disturbed by the appearances of death that come upon us or seem to come upon our children. Rather, we stand in the one infinite divine life, the one infinite mystical body, and we see through the illusions of this world. As a matter of fact, every healing in the Bible is an esoteric teaching that disease, disaster, discord, and death are overcome by a transformation of consciousness from mortal body to mystical body, from visible life to invisible life. And we should also note that only after Jesus had revealed the mystical body of Lazarus was he ready to make the one great mystical body of himself visible to mankind. This was perhaps as extraordinary a demonstration as will ever appear on this earth. One of the great vital divine teachings in the history of all religions. And again, it has been dreadfully misconstrued by the sleeping clergy. Look again, and you find a teaching so powerful that it can change our present civilization. We have been taught by many that Jesus took John and Peter and James to the Mount of Transfiguration because they were the most prepared of all his disciples. Now there's another reason, even more important. And if you want to experience your own mystical body, you will have to have a better understanding of why Jesus took these three disciples. John represents love. Love without any form of condemnation. A love that sees the love of God even where the world sees evil. Pure love without opposite. Peter represents faith. Faith in the power and presence of God. A faith, though, that is so great that even though Peter may not see God, even though God is invisible, that faith inspires deeds. Because Peter's faith in the invisible divine presence enabled him to become, ultimately, one of the great teachers of Christianity. Now, James represents total commitment, the commitment of your human selfhood totally out of the way so that you can live in spirit without opposite. And it was James who first sacrificed his human life, as you know, and became a martyr in the cause of Christianity. Now, these three qualities, love, faith to perform deeds of divine purity, even without the evidence of a physical God or a presence of God, and then the commitment to spirit, these are your basic qualities, your basic equipment that enabled you to move out of a dying body of mortal flesh into your immortal, mystical body of eternal spirit. So that's why James accompanied Peter and John, and the three of them witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration one of the most important events in all religious history. Years later, recalling that very spellbinding event, the Gospel writers told us that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. His countenance was altered. His face did shine as the sun. His clothing became whiter than white. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. These are the phrases that have come down through the ages. And we ask ourselves, was that the whole story? Have we caught it? Have we understood why he charged them to tell no man what they had seen, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead? Do we know what happened on that mount that could not be told until his resurrection from the dead? Perhaps we can try, at least, to go deeper than the mere words. Christ had awakened the three disciples from mortal sleep. He had lifted them above mortal sense, above material sense, above humanhood, above body consciousness, and now they were in soul consciousness. They were seeing what eyes cannot see that look out from a human skull. They were seeing soul pictures now, not mental images of the human mind. And with these soul pictures, instead of words, Christ was piercing the universal veil of illusion that has blinded man to the presence of eternal life. It's as if he was saying, now open your inner eye. Look through the eye of the soul. And now behold. Behold the invisible creation of God. You see, there were no longer three disciples there. There was the soul standing, looking into the three heavens. And there in the first heaven, the soul of the disciples saw Elias, whom we also know as Elijah. And Elijah was alive. He wasn't dead at all. As John the Baptist, he had been beheaded. But here he was, very much alive in the invisible divine life that is ever present. And also, he had descended back into earth after he had once ascended as Elijah on a chariot. And so you see that Elias or Elijah could come and go, as they say, at will. And then in the second heaven, the soul of the three disciples saw Moses. And here the Hebrew patriarch was very much alive. And they saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Jesus was the one in the third heaven. But he wasn't Jesus anymore. He was no longer a physical body. Now he was himself. He was the light of spirit. He wasn't contained in a shape. He was the very atmosphere itself without boundaries. Now in this soul experience, the disciples of love, faith, and commitment did not realize that they had experienced and entered the mystical body of all who walk this earth. They were in the Christ body whose substance is the very life of God. At that time, they couldn't know that the life of this mystical body was the life of every man and woman who walks this earth. Nor could they even begin to suspect the eternal qualities of perfection that lay hidden in this invisible divine life, ready to bless all who have the vision and the courage to overcome their false sense of mortal life in bodies of temporary flesh. And so Christ said to them, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Let us stand now on this Mount of Transfiguration and see the miracle of truth demonstrated for you that day. With human eyes, they had seen Jesus. Now they were seeing one direct line moving back into the invisible. They were seeing that Jesus visibly was this invisible self, which through soul perception he was now permitting them to see. He was demonstrating his mystical body. It had no place where it began in space or time. It could have gone back endlessly, and it came now out of the invisible, slowly becoming perceptible, first as visible light, and then finally as that which, to some extent, still resembled the man they had known as Jesus. All of that in one continuous motion without division. One. Now put your face and your body in front of that light and see yourself in the visible as a visible form, and now let yourself go back into the invisible, further back until you are light, and now back into invisible light. Feel all of it, going back into infinity, disappearing into that which no one can see. And now come out of that invisible. You are the infinite invisible coming forth into visible light and finally into an appearance called man or woman. But all of it from the invisible out to the visible is you. In other words, when we look at you, we see only the tip of the iceberg. We don't see your invisibility which is there. And so we look at your invisible and we form this visible concept we call you. And you do it about yourself and everyone you know. Feel this infinite invisibility of your being, because that is what the Mount of Transfiguration was all about. He was saying, "John, Peter, James, this is you. I am demonstrating your mystical body as well as my own." And as you rest there, as you feel the glory, as you know yourself to be the infinite invisible, you are opening yourself to the teaching of Christ that you are invisible life in an invisible body of spirit. That you are eternal being right now, and that all this invisible universe here and now is you. Tell no man these things you have seen until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. It has another meaning, you see. When you know yourself to be that living spirit, then the Son of Man rises within you from the deadness of the mortal grave that we live in. You become alive with the spirit. And the rising of the Son of Man in you is your conscious realization of identity. And until it happens in you, what have you to tell? Tell no man until the Son of Man is risen again in you. Then with that experience, you can go forth living in your mystical body, trusting your invisible mystical life to go before you everywhere. And the light of your being will tell the world. Only the crucifixion was a higher point in the demonstration of Christ. Lazarus was restored to his mystical body and could walk out of a tomb. The life had never died. The invisible life was always living. And immediately after this was demonstrated, the Master took his disciples to the mount to show him how it had been done. He had simply brought forth the invisible light body into the visible. And there was Lazarus again. He was saying, do it yourself. And then to show that nothing could take away that invisible light body, he said, crucify the physical form you see, and you will see that I'm still here. Destroy this body temple, and in 3 days, I will still be right here showing you another body. Why? Because those 3 days of the three heavens you just saw, that's where I lived. In the 5th, 6th, and 7th days of Genesis, we find the three heavens, the three invisible worlds, which are one world, which are your mystical body now. I think we can move now into our 15th lesson. I think if you want to write me about some of your experiences this past month, I would be very happy to learn what you went through. One woman wrote and said that on a trip to Texas, on a plane, they were told by the pilot that for the next 100 miles there would be a great deal of turbulence, and be prepared for it. They were going to go through it. They had no choice, or they decided that was the thing to do anyway. And so she went into her mystical body. She felt that she could not describe the joy of the experience because she wasn't in the plane at all, you know. And I won't tell you that the plane was in her either, because she was beyond a plane. She was in her invisible life over those so-called 100 miles. She was alert. She had a companion, her husband. He too felt no turbulence. They didn't feel this rush of air you get when you came down. Nobody on the plane seemed to be aware of any turbulence, and when they landed, neither she nor her husband felt the contact with the earth. And the trip would not have been half as enjoyable if this pilot hadn't come through to tell them about the turbulence for 100 miles ahead. because it made them find their mystical bodies. Now for the last 30 or 40 days, we've been working with weather. There was a great deal of work put on in certain areas, and hopefully we have had a successful series of meditations. At this particular point, right now, from this moment or up to this moment, I'm not aware of any deaths that occurred because of weather conditions. I read about two in Indonesia, pardon me, from an earthquake. Two were killed about 20 days ago in Indonesia from an earthquake. But outside of that, even when I read about the fires, I read they were contained. And I looked and scanned each word in the print of the paper. Who died? Who died? Who died? They never reported a death. And so I like to feel, and hope it's true, that together we have been instrumental in unseeing weather conditions. Certainly we've learned a good deal, that we can be sure of. Now we want to continue those 8 o'clock meditations, and our subject is transportation. Airplanes, automobiles, ships at sea, people swimming in the ocean. Now we want to learn how to do it correctly, because in this world work, it must be repeated again and again, we are not trying to remove conditions. That's the best way to multiply them. And so catch this little trick or technique, which is very important, not only in these meditations, but in your healing work. Perhaps I'll review it from a personal body standpoint so you get the idea more readily. The person comes to you with a backache. They're moaning. And you love them. At least you want to get rid of it for them. And you've lost it right there. Now let's look back at the lessons today. We were talking about the mystical body and the invisible mystical life, the life of God. And so you know that the life of God does not have a backache, and the body of God does not have a backache. And that God is all. God is all life. God is the only body. There is only one body. Now, where are you going to get rid of the backache? The minute you try to, you've denied the allness of God, the allness of divine life, the allness of the one infinite mystical body of spirit. You have come right under the hypnosis of matter. And now, hypnotized by matter, you're going to try to remove the backache. You're right back, seeing serpents in a tree in your backyard and trying to get rid of the serpents. And you can try all day. They won't leave the tree because they're not there. You can't get rid of that backache because it's not there. Maybe someday you can tell that to the patient. Right now, if you try to, they say, well, then what do I want to come to you for? If you can't get rid of my backache, I'll go to someone who can. There's a chiropractor who can do it. There's someone else who can do it. And the medical profession knows all about how to handle backaches. And so, tell no man. Someday you'll find there's somebody you can tell. You can say, look, let's face it, you don't have arthritis. You think you have. You don't even have an ulcer. You think you have. Now, you can't do that with most people, but there are some you can do it with, and they'll listen to you. And don't be surprised if they finally agree with you that they don't have arthritis and don't have an ulcer. And it won't be because your mind is more powerful than theirs. It'll be because you have risen above the temptation to accept the appearance. And you may be thinking, well, that's pretty superficial stuff. Where do we get into brain tumors? Where do we get into other malignancies in the body? You can't dismiss those by saying you don't have them. Yes, you can. God does. God is too pure to behold iniquity. Is the Son of God any different? There is one life and one body. And that mystical body is your body, and it is the body of your patient, though the patient knows it not. And if you want to help, the only help you can give is to know the truth. And that's first step number one on our transportation meditations. Know the truth. Know the truth before the accidents. Know the truth that the life of God is not going to be in an accident. Know the truth that the life of God is all there is out there. That's all that's there. The life of God is where the plane seems to be with 273 passengers. Only the life of God is there. Only the mystical body is there with the life of God governing it. Know the truth that the life of God is where every driver of an automobile appears to be. There may be millions of cars on the road, but there is only one life, and you are the one who knows it. There is only one body, and you are the one who knows it. And that body can never be in an accident. That life can never smash up. Now, you're either in the mystical consciousness or the material consciousness. And during this month, we want to see that the life of God is where the ocean is. And everybody can be running to the beach and into the high waves, but only the life of God is there, only the one mystical body. And finally, it's the one mystical body in which this world appears to be. And it is your body. It is where the oceans are, where the sky is, where the automobiles are driving. And then when you're meditating during the July 4th weekend, by that time you should be ready, really in high gear, rolling along, knowing the truth so well that your work should show forth in this visible world. So let's go through a meditation or two. Let's catch the feeling. It's 8 o'clock, California time. Here in Hawaii, we're back there at 5 o'clock now. Up there in New England, you're up to 11 o'clock, I think. And so on, out to Alaska and Midwest and whatnot. We're all in the one mystical body governed by the one divine life. Now, in your practice sessions, before you get into the July 4th weekend, take your 13th lesson of this tape and really fine comb it. Know it so well that all of the principles mentioned there are put into practice in this meditation. You're in the one invisible body. Just find your peace. Forget all the phrases. Forget all the truth you know. Find the peace of the one invisible body. My peace I give unto you. My peace. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. There can be no death. We never heard of death. All we know is life. Life is all that is here. We are overcoming that last enemy. The last enemy called death. And now, while we're doing that, let's go a step further. Let's see what John meant when he said that the last enemy to be overcome is the second death. That's in Revelation, the second chapter. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He had already disclosed that the eternal life of God is the life of all men. And you're knowing this now in this meditation. There aren't two kinds of life. There's only the life of God, which is the life of all men. And that's where you're living. The life of all men, whether they are driving a car or seated in a plane or swimming in an ocean, the life of all children, wherever they are, the life of this universe, the only life, is the life of God. Find your peace in that. And if you don't find your peace in it, you have not accepted the truth of it. What is that second death? The life of Jesus Christ, demonstrated by Jesus Christ, is the life of every passenger on every plane. The life of every motorist driving a car. The life of every passenger in a car. All transportation, air, land, and sea, is an image in mind. We are living in the one invisible life, not in a moving vehicle. Maybe the 4 billion on the earth have forgotten the divine life. Maybe all of us have. Because when we came into mortal flesh, we stepped out of our original divine life. We are all the one life and always have been. And then through mortal birth, we departed from the consciousness of eternal life. That mortal birth became dead to spirit through a false consciousness. That is the first death. All human birth is the first death in the eyes of the mystic, because it is a departure from the one eternal life. But we never did depart. We simply gave a sense of reality to a form, which we then continued to live in. And only when this form dies are we in the second death. John wanted us to know that. The first death he defined as human birth. The second death was the death of that which was born humanly. So birth is death number one. The death of the mortal body is death number two. And we can avoid the second death. If you become part of the first resurrection, says John, you can avoid the second death. And that is what we want to do in this meditation for the world. We want to show that the second death is unnecessary. We're only using transportation as a way of demonstrating to ourselves and to the world silently that the knowledge of the one invisible divine life everywhere, as your life and my life, accepted within, flowing now through your infinite, invisible, mystical body, is the only life out there. And when the glorious peace comes upon you, you are entering the first resurrection. We're going to do this every night at 8 o'clock. Through July 4th and beyond until you get the next tape. And we'll probably continue that so that we can have a different subject each month for our 8 o'clock meditation. Right up to the seminar. Now then, let's look at John's statement a little closer. I think it's in Revelation 20 or 21. Yes, here it is. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ. As we rest in the one life, we are priests of God. We are the church of God. We are the living life of God. And something is happening within us silently, invisibly, changing the conditions of earth, removing the discords and disharmonies, the fears and the hates, making it impossible for this form to be guided by the world mind into those catastrophes that have engulfed the world. Beyond our meditation, as we practice this knowledge, something takes place within you day after day after day. A subtle transmutation. Replacing your false sense of body into a total oneness with the infinite, in which your only body is that infinite body which appeared to the world as Christ Jesus, Christ John, Christ Paul, Christ Moses. The infinite invisible body comes into a visible sense of body, but it is a one infinite continuity of body. And all is the invisible life of God. And the second death is overcome. This translation from the natural body to the divine is the evolution of consciousness that becomes visible as your divinely governed body, which for Enoch and others became the passport to eternity. we are no longer going to continue as bodies of clay subject to conditions of the world. Not if we're willing to give up those sense bodies in exchange for the mystical body. Now we have three more lessons, three more tapes, that is, and there'll be about 10 or 12 more lessons on them. And their purpose will be to help you maintain the conscious, continuous awareness so totally that even when you're not trying to think about it, it's there. Just like you're conscious of air, without being conscious of it, you know it's there. Just like your hands move on the brakes and your feet on the pedals of a car without really taking thought. So we learn the meaning of take no thought for your body. Take no thought for your life. There will come a time when you won't have to take thought. A time when thought does its own thing and you are consciously only that body, only that life. Years and lifespans of habit as a human organism are thus erased from consciousness. The veil is lifted. Behold, the new self emerges without the taint of a second consciousness, a second body, a second life. Now these meditations on transportation are just as important for you as they are for those whom you are trying to walk with in the truth. And I think it's a good way to start your children off into this work a little higher than they have been. Let them meditate with you about transportation. Let them become conscious of the invisible life. Teach it to them. If necessary, tell them to tell no man. But let them enjoy this new vision of a life that never dies. Explain the difference between the life that never dies and the life of the body. They are less conditioned than you or I were, say 30 or 40 years ago, or maybe 20 or 10 years ago for some of us. They can understand more than we ever dreamed they can understand. And you'll see that our work on transportation has many important ramifications for you, your family, and mankind. The 13th lesson is a summary of the higher principles that you must practice. The 12th lesson is the giving up of the body. The 14th lesson is transfiguration, taught by Jesus to his three disciples, taught by Jesus to all disciples throughout the world who bring forth love, faith, and commitment, and taught by you to those who come within the perimeter of your consciousness, whether they know you or not. Be still and know I in the midst of you, I who can never leave you, I who go before you, I who make all the crooked places straight, I am your infinite divine life. And I function through your infinite mystical body of spirit. And you will discover the first resurrection taking place within you, that elevation of consciousness, which dissolves the experience called the second death. Much love from Kauai. We'll see you again in about 30 days as we join again in oneness of the soul. Much love.